Hi, this is Rabia.
And Susan.
And Colin from the Undisclosed Podcast.
Right now, we are actively recording for Undisclosed Season 2.
So subscribe on iTunes and make sure you don't miss any new episodes.
Including our addenda, hosted by Emmy Award-winning actor John Cryer.
Undisclosed Season 2, coming to you on July 11th. We'll see you then.
We'll see you then.
We'll see you then.
Alabama's millennials need a strong conservative voice. That voice is James Lomax. It's the James Lomax Show right here on News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM WVNN. Depend on it.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the James Lomax Show on WVNN 770 AM, 92.5 FM. I'm your guest host, Grayson Everett. I'm a student at the University of Alabama right now and a lifelong resident of Huntsville. And today, I have in the studio with me a couple of guests that I'll be introducing in just one moment. And today, we're going to be talking about a topic that really illuminates the state of affairs across the board, whether it's public life and government and democracy, or whether it's private life and the private sector, business markets, civic life in general. It's something that really you can't get around. And this is a topic that's really relevant to both of my guests here today. They're both recent graduates of Huntsville High School. They both graduated in May. And today that topic is education, public education specifically, the public school system. But specifically, we're going to be talking about an interesting case of public education, one that is publicized here locally across Huntsville, across Alabama, but also nationally. It's gotten national attention for some of the things that have went on within the past decade or so. And it's the Huntsville City School System. It's a very interesting case, and I have two guests today that will be able to provide some really, really unique perspective about what's going on in the school system. They're both 13-year-old products of the Huntsville City School System, and they're going to share some unique insight on some of the things that we read about in the news, but don't often really take the opportunity to dive in further with. And my guests are, the first is Clay Martinson. He's a recent graduate of Huntsville. He graduated in May, and during his high school tenure, he played baseball, basketball. He was the president of the school's ambassadors. He did just about everything at some point. He'll be attending the University of Alabama. Roll Tide, of course. And also, I have with me Drew Pendergrass. He graduated also in May this year. He was the captain of the academic team. He was the president of an honor society and also the editor of The Red and Blue, one of Huntsville's few newspapers. That was a school newspaper, though, yes. He will actually be attending the University of Harvard this fall. Harvard, up north. Are you going to pack a jacket?
Oh, yeah.
Good, good, good. So right now, Drew, let's go and dive into it. I'll start with you right now. So you very recently, pretty recently, wrote an article about the Huntsville City School System. How recently was it?
It was a few months ago. Published on the school paper. So I emailed Shelley Haskins of the Huntsville Times. Mm-hmm.
Publish this article for the whole Huntsville community to read.
Okay, gotcha, perfect. And the article was about teacher retention rate. It was about some of the issues that are facing, some of the folks who really are instrumental in education and on the front lines of education, which are teachers. And in your article, you narrowed down the problem essentially to a few things, and I think that they were very good, sort of subcategories to really look at this issue through, and they were communication, discipline, the lack of any raise in the system for teachers, and also Common Core, testing, pacing guides, things of the like. So, Drew, what did you see in the schools as a student throughout your entire tenure, but, specifically when you've been able to be cognizant about community issues and local issues and the way that education works? What made you want to dive in and explore what's going on in the school system?
So the reason I started the article is our high school journalism teacher had left Huntsville City Schools to go to Madison City Schools, and it was very sudden, very surprising, and it really brought the attention of teacher retention issues to my attention and to the attention of our whole newspaper staff. It had been something that people had noticed, but no one really was doing anything about. And there wasn't really anything in the local news media about this issue. It seemed to be kind of covered up or just not discussed. So I started researching this, and I really kind of realized how powerless teachers felt, how they felt like issues that they wanted to be addressed were just not being addressed. And then, you know, race issues had just, people in Huntsville were not aware of kind of how little our teachers are paid, even relative to peer areas.
Yeah, and when you look at the Huntsville City School System, you say, you know, you look at scores, you look at buildings, it's easy to look at it and say, oh, teachers are paid really well there, right? What's the reality?
Well, the reality is that our rivals, not rivals, but our neighboring school districts in Madison and Madison County, where you're from,
yes.
they do a better job of paying teachers, and that means that really talented teachers like our journalism teacher can be lured away by not only a higher paycheck, but also more of, I guess, a teaching community where they feel like what they say has value. Something that is a culture issue in Huntsville City Schools that was brought to my attention.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned just a second ago, you know, about other school systems and the way that you know they're able to you know treat their teachers and able to you know keep folks in the classroom. Madison County recently approved the Madison County School Board and Superintendent Matt Massey of the Madison County Schools recently did approve a raise for their teachers system wide. And Clayton, now I'm going to turn to you, you know, still talking about the Huntsville City School System, you know, I would imagine that Drew and you had some similar classes. You
I
know,
would
you were
agree.
Probably, yeah, we're in some of the same classes, probably AP classes. But what was it from your perspective? You know, did you see some of the things that, you know, that Drew wrote about in his article? What is your perspective on, you know, the way that teachers are coming and going? Did you have any teachers, you know, quit mid-year? Did you have any teachers that retired early?
There are a few teachers definitely this year who have left completely. I know my stats teacher, he has left. A lot of really good teachers have gone on to different school systems. But I think the main issue is teacher morale and how teachers are treated. In the city school system, teachers are mainly treated like a number instead of a person. And I know one of the main things for me as an ambassador, we dealt with teacher morale and keeping morale up and things of that nature. And I think it made some difference, but a lot of teachers left. And I know our science department took a big hit this year. So.
And, you know, I think that this is really good insight to have because, you know, a lot of times we can read articles about it and it's usually from journalists who, you know, are really doing their due diligence to get in and figure out what's going on in the schools. But, you know, right now we have with us two 13-year products of the school system. So I think that their insight and what they can, you know, really be able to elucidate about the issue is really, really valuable. But right now, I think on today, of all days especially, I think it would be very remiss not to mention Sonny Hereford, who was a civil rights leader and led the charge really to integrate the Huntsville City School System in the 1960s. And he did so completely peacefully. And he's relevant even more so today because he actually passed away this past week. And he's the person who started it all here in Huntsville City. He's the reason that minorities are able to go to school today in Huntsville. And I think that that is enormous, and I think that it's definitely something that, you know, we should be talking about today. Because I think, if anything, his legacy is to keep talking about these issues and never being satisfied with what we're given, because just because we have minorities in our school and just because we're all able to have one school, it doesn't mean that everything was fixed. As soon as we integrated, it doesn't mean that we fixed everything. So, Drew, I'm going to turn to you, excuse me, I'm going to turn to you one more time and say some of the reaction to your article was that you are a little bit enabling and encouraging the narrative behind teacher white flight and moving good teachers who are, you know, well-educated, might come from, you know, very expensive schools, you know, sort of enabling them to look elsewhere and not focus their attention on Huntsville City Schools, you know, which is predominantly urban, which, you know, focuses on a city other than, you know, some county schools and perhaps the private schools also, which, you know, pay better and are able to control more about their classroom. So what would you have to say to people who are sort of accusing you of enabling that dialogue and saying that you're driving teachers away from school systems where they're needed quite dearly?
That's a very good question, and that has been something that has been brought to my attention. The article was originally written for the Huntsville High School newspaper, and for the Huntsville High School community. So my my breadth was kind of Huntsville High School focus, and I did not focus on particular issues facing Lee High School, North Huntsville, all those areas. And that is one of the things that I regret about the article, that I did not focus on that a little bit more. But what I would say is there are times when it's not the school system's fault. It is sometimes the teacher's fault. The teachers need to – there's centralization that's going on. Teachers are now hired centrally through central office, not by principals. And this has a variety of good things and bad things. But one of the good things is that it allows us to move teachers to where they're needed to meet the desegregation order and all these things that are being ordered. But that needs to be done with respect to the teachers, talking with them, you know, but also it should make them a little uncomfortable. A teacher should be, you know, they work for someone and they need to serve all of Huntsville. So I definitely agree that if you have more troubled kids or something, you just need to be trained. And I mean, that's just where we live. That's Huntsville. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to handle that.
Certainly. And you mentioned a segment in your article about discipline. Talk a little bit about, and Clay, I want to hear your perspective also, what you saw in the classroom. You know, I'd like to kind of have you guys talk about, you know, some of the discipline issues in Huntsville City Schools. And it seems like most of the commentary that happens about, you know, some of the problematic things that happen within the Huntsville City School system relate to discipline. And, you know, some would call it chaos. And parents are up in arms, many are concerned, and it's garnered a lot of attention. So where does this discipline issue come from? And we have just about another minute until the break. So, Drew, give me your pitch.
Well, it is a problem, and we really need to pay attention to when teachers are complaining, if they need someone out of their classroom, if they need suspension, if they need to write someone up, that student needs to be taken care of. At the same time, this is going to be a time of adaptation. It's going to take time to get used to, you know, Huntsville City Schools was kind of segregated, and some of the more poor kids, the more impoverished kids, a lot of teachers don't have as much experience with. And it will take time to adjust, but I think in time these discipline problems will improve as everyone gets used to the new reality.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
I agree with that. Moving a lot of kids from Butler this past year, I mean, it's a rough situation when you have to be taken from one environment you've known and thrown into a completely new environment. It stuff like fights and things like that are going to happen. But I think overall, Huntsville High did a good job of helping these students adapt.
Certainly. Absolutely. Well, we are nearing the break right now, and I am here with Clay Martinson and Drew Pendergrass, both recent graduates of Huntsville High School. They graduated in May, and right now we're talking a little bit about the Huntsville City School system. Both have been deeply enamored with some of the issues that are going on at Huntsville High School and in the Huntsville City School system. And I think that they would both agree that it's a critique out of wanting something better for somewhere that they cherish a lot, somewhere where they have a lot of memories, somewhere where they have a lot of friends and, you know, like a lot of teachers and made a lot of, you know, good connections in high school. So we'll be back after the break talking about that a little bit more and who knows what we'll get into. This is the James Lomax Show. Welcome back to the James Lomax Show. This is your host, Grayson Everett. This is WVNN 770 AM, 92.5 FM. And James Lomax is out today. And like I said, I'm your guest host, Grayson Everett. And James has had me on the program a couple of times now, had me as a guest once and a guest host now twice. And I brought a couple of guests of my own here in a second. I'll reintroduce them in just one moment. But, you know, with James finishing up school and you know, so many of the other things that he's involved with. He's a busy dude. I think that we might ought to turn the show from the James Lomax Show into just, I don't know, like the 20-something variety hour, something in the spirit of James. I don't know, commercial reality commentary. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But today I'm with Clay Martinson and Drew Pendergrass. We are talking about the Huntsville City School System. We're talking about education, We're going deep this morning, and we left off by talking about some of the discipline issues that are facing Huntsville High School and the Huntsville City School System, and, you know, I think it's really indicative of a national conversation that we foster, you know, occasionally about education, specifically because education often, or almost always, takes a back seat to talking about international relations, talking about global diplomacy, talking about healthcare, and so many of the other issues that really just, you know, come to the forefront, especially in an election year. So, you know, I like to talk about education any opportunity I get because whether or not you have a kid in, you know, a school system, whether or not you did any school at all, whether you went and got your PhD, education on every level matters to you. I think John Green said it best when he said that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're not in school or if you don't have a kid in school. What does matter is that education builds the next generation of taxpayers and leaders and thinkers and business people and politicians. So everyone wins when education is great. And like I said, I have Clay Martinson and Drew Pendergrass in the studio right now. So let's talk about something that kind of, you know, relates to a big national issue with education, something that people really like to talk about with education. And Drew, you mentioned it actually in your article, and it's the Common Core Standards. And we'll touch on it for a minute and you know, kind of see where it takes us. But like I said, generally speaking, education policy takes a backseat to what we generally talk about in election cycles. And all of us here are products of a North Alabama public education. I graduated from the Madison County school system. So in a sense, we've all come from these Common Core standards, you know, specifically math, English, history, and, you know, there's standards, and I would encourage you to do as much research as possible on them. And we've all lived through them. So Drew, Clay, I'll start with you. You know, what has your experience been with these standards, number one? And number two, you know, what do you think the implications are? What is the tangible input and what is the tangible product of implementing these standards? What does it look like in the classroom?
Well, I just think that it takes away from a teacher teaching, and it goes more to about meeting the right standards. And I feel that, you know, it's not all about meeting checkpoints. It's more about kids learning. And I think I'm a little bit more old school and think that the teachers should have a little bit more command over what they teach overall. I have a lot of trust in teachers. I think they do a great job. But overall, I just think that the Common Core is a system that's broken, but it can be fixed. That's sort of the way I look at it. Drew may have a different opinion, but I definitely think that the checks of the Common Core system should be a little bit changed, and a lot of the testing. I know in Huntsville City Schools, we test a lot, benchmarks, end of course, and I think that it overall in college, you know, you're looking more for your teachers, your professors' exam, and it takes away from you know, studying for that exam, and you end up coming in second behind other kids who have studied for their teachers' exams.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, and Drew, you might have a different opinion, but I think Clay really touched on something that weighs heavy on the minds of parents that have children in any school. That you know, rigorous testing can't be good. There's no way it can. You know, constantly moving towards the next test and constantly planning for the next test can't be good. Drew, do you think this is the reality? Do you think it's an oversaturation of testing? You know, what are your thoughts on the tangible implementation of the standards?
Well, I definitely think we are testing too much. Like Huntsville City Schools, we have so many standards and guidelines. We follow Common Core established by the state, and we follow Quality Core established by ACT, which we contract with. And so we have all these standards, and this results in Huntsville City Schools specifically, teachers having to follow pretty strict pacing guides. And pacing guides are necessary because you want to get certain materials covered in the classroom, but sometimes it can just be a little bit too much. If a class is maybe full of kids who didn't have the same experiences, I talked to one Algebra 2 teacher at Huntsville High School who had this experience. Her students didn't even know what a cube root was, and they're trying to do polynomial expansions
and
all this
complex.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, well, if you're in Algebra 2, you should know what it is. So that's basically the point here. She needed to take a couple of weeks to catch these kids up, and there was just no time.
Certainly.
So that's the bad part of Common Core. The good part of Common Core is that we have standards now.
Yes.
It's not like the way it was before. If you went to this tiny county school that didn't have a lot of kids, mm-hmm. you would not get the same education. And you still don't, but at least now we're having a really big push to make sure everyone knows the stuff that they should know going into college, going into the workforce, or the military, or whatever they choose to do after graduation.
Certainly. And, you know, it is in large measure about standards. Because, I mean, you know, imagine being in the shoes of a military family that has to move often. You know, if you are stationed somewhere in Florida, or if you live somewhere in Florida, and you are taught, you know, years of something, and you work up to a certain point in your education, and you move, and you've regressed completely, say you move to Alabama, which has, you know, generally weaker standards, you know, across the board without the full implementation of Common Core. You know, imagine how behind and how much you have to catch up, you know, to be able to be on the same level. So it is in great measure about standards, and I'm glad that we have some dissenting opinions. But, you know, like I started off with, you know, I think that we make these critiques. I think that we would all agree that we make these critiques because we want to improve our system of education. We want to improve what we just came out of, because as soon as we graduate, it's not the time to stop talking about these things, and it's not the time to become disengaged and become apathetic. It's the time where we're able to share our perspective and able to really get at the root of some of the challenges facing our schools. And this is indicative everywhere. This is secondary education. This is college. This is everything. So the next time that a student shares their perspective about public education, listen. They know a lot about it because they just came out of it. And only by recognizing some of the unique perspectives that we have that come out of our system of public education, again, secondary or college or higher than that, then, you know, only then are we really able to hit on some of these really big issues. So, Drew, Clay, very quickly, what is the number one solution to, you know, to this, to, you know, what's going on? Quickly, one word.
All right. More teacher support.
Clay.
Putting public policy on education to the forefront.
Beautiful. This is the James Lomax Show. I'm Grayson Everett, guest hosting. Have a good Saturday. See you next week.